There are things that are happening in the world that are out of your control. The more you try to figure it out, the more lost you're going to become. So if you're trying to make sense of what God is doing, you're going to have to trust and lean not on your own understanding and trust him that he knows he's going to work it all out. Because the more you try to figure out God, the more he escapes. And so as Christians, we are entering in and we have been in a time that, like no other time in history, no other time. Not only are you dealing with stuff on a spiritual level, you're dealing with things on a political level, you're dealing with things that we have not seen before, because I believe that Jesus is coming back quickly and he's getting his church in position to rule and reign, not just in heaven, but here. You understand that your job, he said, is to occupy. You're supposed to be doing some stuff here. And so if you're caught up in yourself and you're caught up in your past, it robs you of what God has for you in the future. And there are so many people right now who are fighting themselves or fighting their past to break free. And you're in that struggle. And God said, I see the struggle. And I'm allowing the struggle to finally help you be free. There's a difference in saying that you're free and actually being free. Now I'm free. But there's a difference. Because there are things in our life that God wants to do and he wants to free us from so that we actually stand up, we can declare the goodness of God without fear of what was. And this is what happens with people, is that God begins to move people around and reposition people because he wants them to be his mouthpiece. But there's a struggle that goes on with doubt, fear, and unbelief. And that struggle begins to, if we're not careful, take hold of who they are. And so when they go to declare the goodness of God, there's like a cap. There's a cap because they have to filter through their inadequacies. They have to filter it through their inferiority. They have to filter through, am I good enough? Am I not like God-like enough? And the enemy knows you are weak. And he's going to come at you in that weak area and press that weak area to see if you're going to stand or you're going to fall. And if you don't think that's a real thing, I want you to think about the times over the last week or two where you have fallen, but you've gotten back up. And you've learned some things about yourself in the process, because the enemy comes at your weakness to test, to see how far you've really come. I know you praise Jesus. I know you're all about Jesus. And I know you lift your hands and you got all this Jesus fish in the back of your car and you got great stickers and it all looks great. But when it really comes down to it and I start talking about your mother to you who you had an issue with when you were younger, and you can't let go, that's when the rubber meets the road, because you aren't really walking right because you're still harboring stuff. And so the enemy starts to bring that stuff up. And if you're not strong enough in Christ to be able to rebut him, you will go down that road again that God already freed you from and delivered you from, and start rehashing conversations that are long dead. And the reality of it is that the only thing the enemy can do is distract you. Distract. And we love to be distracted. We love to be distracted. It's the reason why we put kids in front of the TV for hours. Okay, man, just put him in front, because in about 5 hours, he's going to fall out. And what you don't realize is that you're actually desensitizing him to the reality of life and teaching him how to escape to something that's actually not good for him. But we love to be distracted, because and there are songs people sing about it. It's like, man, I just needed, at the end of the day, I just need a distraction. The problem with the distraction is that a lot of people don't come out of it. Yeah. And distraction turns into addiction. Addictions turn into strongholds. And now we have a problem. Because now instead of living, you're now hiding and you're not living. And if the enemy can get you to hide and not come out and live, the power of the cross diminishes. What he did was final. It's finished. The reality is that most people don't live like it's finished. And they don't realize that they are now in this thing, and it's real. For you just to say a prayer is not good enough. For you just to talk about Jesus is not good enough. You got to live this thing and learn how to walk it. And if you're not learning how to walk it, you're not going to win in this life. It would have been one thing for Jesus just to take you when you said that prayer in your heart, that quiet prayer that you said that one Sunday, whenever it was, and he said, that's it, I got you. But that was just the start. Now it's... It's the reason why it says the book of Romans, chapter 12. Grandma Maria, put it up for me. Brothers and sisters, God has shown you his mercy, so I'm asking you to offer up your bodies to him while you are still alive. Your bodies are a holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. When you offer your bodies to God, you are worshiping him in the right way. Don't live in the way this world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you will be able to test what God wants for you, and you will agree that what he wants is right. Right. Every step, transformation. So that you can be completely changed. Why? Because it's about his life for your life. That's what the cross was about. He gave his life so that in response, you could give your life back to him. This is what a two-way relationship looks like. I'm going to give you all of me. And in response, God says, the least you can do is to give me all of you. The least you can do. I mean, at least show up for church. I mean, at least show up in the mornings when it's our time. Just show up. It's one thing to be called into battle. It's another thing to actually go to it. Hey, I've called you out of darkness. I've called you into my kingdom. I've got something for you. Your past is gone. I've called you in this fight. And we get up and God says, it's time to go. And we're late. We show up. We're not dressed. And we expect to win. But the enemy's ready to go. He's dressed. He's been up watching you. And we come in all disheveled, all compromised. Last night was a rough one. Compromise, just saturated in dysfunction. We're like, we're going to win it. We're going to win it. We're not even standing right. Trying to declare God's goodness, but we can't remember the scripture in John. He's trying to tell you lie, and you're trying to rebut truth. I don't even know where that's at. And so we have a lot of people, they can't win, they can't converse right. They're trying to win a battle that's spiritual. They're trying to do it naturally. I'm just going to do it in my flesh. You can't do it in your flesh. You can't win this in your flesh. You can't take another step unless the Spirit of God gives you the strength to take it and to fight. You can't. So unless there's that exchange that takes place, there's no chance for you to win. It's not like God said, I'm going to give you half of me, and in response, I want half of you. No, God said, I want all of you. And this is what God does. Periodically comes in, and there's a check. He says, okay, just checking. I'm looking at my list. Just want to make sure I got all of you. Oh, no, there's that childhood thing again. I don't have that yet. And you know what that looks like because you think everything's good and you're on a mountain, everything's good, and man, I'm just praising Jesus, and all of a sudden he shines a light on that one spot just looking at it. I want that. Because we praise God good, we have a great experience with God, and all those things are great. But the reality is that it's a walk. It's not an experience. You don't serve Jesus because you come to church on Sunday morning. You learn to serve Jesus throughout the week. That's when the walk is. This, you're coming in here for a reprieve. In about 35 minutes, you're going to walk back out into reality. And all that stuff you've been fighting all week, guess what? It's going to start to swirl around you again. What you gonna do? Well, I had a great experience at 11:30. That experience is great for 11:30 and Sunday. What are you going to do the rest of the day and tomorrow when you have to get up and actually put on the armor and get back in this thing? And remember, give your life back over to Jesus tomorrow, not just Sunday. I gave my life to Jesus on Sunday. It was great. Had a great day at church. Jesus said, that's great. I don't care. Let's see what happens Monday. Because there are people who are fighting things, and you're going to need the Spirit of God tomorrow. I already know in my heart, I'm going to need Jesus tomorrow. I already know some things are coming. I'm going to need him tomorrow. But it's not a one-time thing. I don't exchange my life and say, okay, now, Lord, here's my life today, and then there's going to be a reprieve, and next week I'm going to give it back. No, it's daily. Daily. I put myself back on the altar and say, it's not my life, but it's yours. That's how I live a life of thanksgiving, is by giving my life back and saying, I open up my hands and open up my heart. You can have it all. That's what a true disciple is. You can have it all. I give you access to everything in my life. If you want to get into an area, it'll hurt. I know that's going to hurt, but I'll give you access to it because I love you that much. What does it benefit you? Let me ask you this. What does it benefit you if you try to hide from God and try to do life without him? Or 90% of the time, you're doing life with him, and then the 10% like, now I'm going to try to do this without God because I know that if I can do this without God, it's a comfort thing for me. What does it benefit you to try to do that? Nothing, nothing. Because God has so, his eyes are so good. He doesn't have cataracts. He knows what he's looking at when he looks at it. Have you had a conversation with someone and you're in conversation with them and you're like, you know there's something going on in their heart and their mind because you just see it through their eyes. Yep. You're like, man, what's up with you? I know, no, I'm good. No, you're not. What's up with you? What's up with you? I see. I don't even have to know what's in your back pocket, but I know there's something in your back pocket. What's going on? Isn't that the same how it goes with God? You're in a relationship with God, and God's like, how you doing, Malia? I'm doing good. No, you're not. What's going on with you, girl? What's going on? What's going on? I see you're hurting back there. You're hurting back there. Come on, come clean with me. Right. Don't you think if you come clean with God, it'd be a lot better off than just trying to hide and say, no, let me tuck this thing in? Because God says, I'm going to come in. I'll pry that right open. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've tried to hold on to something and block God from getting in. Like, you're going to block him. You know. He's trying to come in, and he know when he's trying to come in because he's like, oh, he's trying to get there. And you're trying to like side block him. He's like, what are you doing? Because you're trying to keep your life. And when you keep it, you lose it. This is what Christianity is about. You want to save your life, lose it. That's why you got to learn how to lose your life more consistently. And you know what that looks like, and when God's trying to get something out of you, because it starts to get uncomfortable, and God's, oh, there's something else I got to give. But we hold on because we think we know better. And when you think you know better, you know automatically you open yourself up to possibility of failure. And I don't want to tell myself, but how many of you had conversations with God where you said, listen, I know better than you do? I know. And you try to say, God, just let me do it. I got this. And God lets you have it. And you don't have it. But he still has you. Isn't that why God is so good? Because when you think you have it and you don't, God still has you. And God allows you to come back and say, I got you. I had you. I know you're crazy. I know all that stuff. I know all about you. I know I get you. I made you. I love you. But I got you. And all your little fighting with me, like a little kid. You know how you've seen when you're growing up, a little kid, parents got them up like this, and the kid's like doing all this stuff. God's like, you're doing all that stuff with me. I got you the whole time like this. And you're fighting me the whole way. We're going home. It's time to go to bed. No, it's not. I need you to end that relationship. No, it's not. I need you to stop singing. No, it's not. All this stuff. We're doing this. God's like, I got you the whole time. If you just let go and stop fighting, because it'll be a lot better for you. And it even translate, you know, even growing up too, I remember going to the doctor, like, listen, don't tense up. You know, when they're trying to give you shots, how am I not supposed to tense up? There's a needle in my, like 6 inches about to go into my, how am I not supposed to tense up? Just take it. The more you, and it wasn't that bad once you relaxed. And the prick just lasted just a little bit. But we get so worked up, and that's how we are with God. We got so worked up. I want my way. I want my will. I want him. I want her. You don't love me. Oh, all this stuff. And God says, you just chill out. You don't have good things for me. All this stuff. Oh, and we start to complain to God. And all this stuff, we're acting like little kids. Little kids. You don't have, you've never loved me. Oh, and you look back, you're like, no, you know God loved you. But because right now you're not feeling it, exchange. Give your life. I didn't ask you for half of it. I said all of it. And I meant all of it. So God does it in seasons because he knows that if he would do the work all at once, it would kill us. There are some things you're dealing with right now you would not be able to take about 6-7 years ago. You were not ready, and his grace was sufficient for that time in your life, and it got you through, but it is different now. There are certain things to look back over my life and say, man, I was so kiddish and childish, but God's grace was good. But the grace I need now far surpasses what I needed back then. I graduated from that grace. This grace, this is big boy grace now. I need big boy grace. I'm fighting against some stuff that I have not seen. I need God's eyes. I need his heart. I need to be able to exchange my life quicker because I need him to give me the strength and the wisdom to fight this thing and keep taking steps of faith, because what God has for me is too big for me to try to hold on to my own life and do it myself. If you can do it yourself, you don't need God. And two, it's not big enough. It's a reason why every week you come in here, the first thing your eyes see is we are part of something bigger. So it checks you in your head to know that what I'm going through right now is not about me. God has other things taking place in my life. The more you try to get God down to your little box and size him in, and God says, I cannot fit there. I got to get out. And when you try to do that, it means that you not exchanged your life for his. Anytime I get ready to get promoted, God says, time for an exchange. I need more of you. Really, I need more access to you. All those people who used to have access to you, I got them out of the way. That was good for them. Not anymore. I need access to you. And there are people in here right now, God's trying to get in. I need access to that area. But you're fighting him right now. I don't want to let you in. I'm comfortable here. I like the way I feel. I know I need access to you. You're too comfortable. You're not relying on me. And the danger zone for the Christian is when you begin to rely on yourself and not God. And God will see to it that you are tested in your reliability and who you trust. Second thing about transformation, change points. What does it point to? It points to that there is someone out there you are serving who is bigger than you, who has the power to transform and change a broken person into who they are today, because they knew who you were, but now they see who you are and they say, that ain't the same Jenny. You know it's God when you get around your friend circles that you used to hang around with, and there's such a distance between you and them. You know that God did a work, and you're like, I can't even believe I used to do that. Change points to, thank you, Jesus. And gives you the ability to say, I used to do it, but I don't. It's change points to the fact that it can deliver someone from drinking alcohol and be around their friends and say, nah, I don't need it anymore. Conversations are not pleasing anymore because they make you sick. The way you talk actually irritates me now. Because God has now changed your nature and your mind has changed, and now you're proving what is good and acceptable and right. And when you hear it, you're like, nah. It's not God. And I know this is not popular, and we don't talk about scripture a lot. Well, in this church, we try to help everyone understand that when Jesus comes in, he separates. He's not into the inclusive party. Jesus said, I die for the whole world, and I love the whole world, but really my priority is you. And I want a relationship with you. And so I'm going to come in and I'm going to separate you from stuff, and I'm going to do a work in your heart, and you're not going to like it. Because it's not going to feel good, because I'm going to interrupt your process, and I'm going to interrupt how you see things. We're going to do a change, transformation, and when people see you, they're not going to recognize you because you've been with me. Are you willing to go that way with God? Or are you so still stuck in being like everybody else? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed. There's a difference in conforming and transformation. You're not called to conform. It's a reason why you're irritated. Because you're not called. It's a reason why things are upsetting you. It's a reason why there's something vexing you in your spirit, because you're not called to conform. And so when you see something that is actually against what you know is right, what it's doing is it's actually lighting something in you, and something's rising up in you, because it's not about you conforming, but because you've been transformed, now you can see what is right. That is wrong. I don't care how you dress it up. I don't care how you change it. If your spirit is telling you one thing, that's where it's at. You can't conform and walk with Jesus. It is not possible to be transformed and conform at the same time. It does not happen. You're either going to be transformed, or you're going to go the other way and conform. That's why Jesus said, you're either gathering for me or you're scattering for me. You're either for me or you're against me. There's no middle ground with Jesus where you're like, hey, maybe one day, hey, bro, Monday you're with me. How's Wednesday? There's no back and forth with Jesus. You're either for me or against me. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. The word does not change. Conforming versus transformation. Where are you at on the scale? There are certain things in people that I still see that irritate me, because in my mind, they should be further along in their walk. And that's just probably my unrealistic expectation. But hey, I try to live a life of faith. So I'm experiencing, I think you should be further along. You're 25 years with Jesus, but still you're emotionally unhealthy. We got a problem. So I'm looking at a scale, and I'm trying to look at, and people do that, and try to see where people are at. And the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. So you're looking at people, and we evaluate people based upon their fruit, right? You love Jesus. What am I looking for? I'm not looking at how good you sing. I'm not looking at how high your hands are raised. I look at your life, and I say, okay, fruit bearer, good. She's good. And anytime you talk about going up another levels with Jesus, it's hard. You can't go up a level with Jesus, bear this type of fruit, and be hanging on to that type of fruit that's outdated. It doesn't work that way. So what a lot of things, I'm trying to be nice today. So what Jesus is doing right now is he's trying to separate the wheat from the chaff, and he's taking people out of your life who don't need to be there. Are you okay with the separation anxiety? Well, I just don't know. They've been with me for so long. But have they really been with you? And so people are being separated, and it's hard because sometimes it feels like God's ripping stuff out of your life. And he is. He is. Because really what he's trying to get you, Ellen, is the root of stuff. He's not trying to get through the symptom. And this is what churches do today. We're going to talk about the symptoms. You discouraged worship. And Jesus said, that's all good, but what I want to get to, I want to get to the root. Because if I get to the root of rejection, we'll deal with all that other stuff. And when you worship me, you're really worshiping in spirit and truth. And we'll get past all that other stuff, all those half measures, all that stuff you just talked about. And we'll get to the root because you know that I'm the one who set you free. I'm trying to get to the root. Why is there so much dysfunction in the church? Jesus don't have access to the root. We've fallen in love with the external expression. And it's become a very religious thing to raise hands and worship Jesus. And when Jesus looks down, he says, man, I don't even know these people. Who are these people? Who are they? But then he looks down and then he sees the ones he does know. Oh, I know her. I know him. They've given me access to the root. You want to go deeper with Jesus? You really want to experience freedom? You really want to walk free from fear and not conform? Let's get to the root. Because, you know, deep down inside, there's for a lot of people, there's still that trepidation of, ooh, if I really give them, I'm not going to be able to lean that way anymore. And this battle that goes on with, I can't grab on to her for comfort anymore. I can't look for affirmation there anymore. I can't, oh, there's that battle. Am I really willing to be separated from them? I don't know. And this battle goes on. And you don't like to talk about it, but I know it's there. Because God said, it's time for transformation. And transformation is a process, but it involves your participation. God's not going to come down and just slay you and put you to sleep and say, now, I will take the root out when you're sleeping. Wouldn't that be great? That would be wonderful, right? Some of y'all, I remember some of y'all got wisdom teeth out a long time ago. Oh, they knocked me out. It was the best thing ever. They needled me up. I didn't get knocked out. I said, let's just do it. They went in, they did the whole thing, the whole process was there, and it was great, right, at the end. It was really great, really felt great, and the whole process, it went on, and I understood a lot of things about God during the process. It was really good, but they didn't knock me out, and it gave me this picture of God's not going to just knock you out and wake you up when you get there. He doesn't give you Benadryl on a plane. And say, in this season, don't worry about it. You won't feel a thing. You won't feel it. But in 6 years, when you come out, man, you're going to look great. You won't remember anything now. He doesn't do it. You're going to walk with him through it. And he's going to give you the grace to stay in the midst of it so he can transform you. There's only a grace that God can give you in transformation. Only a grace. So some of you are in seasons of transformation right now, and you don't really understand how you're doing it. I do. God has given you the grace to transform, and just accept that grace. I'd rather be in that season of grace than in my own season trying to conform and trying to get God to give me the grace to do what I'm doing. I'd rather be the other way. God, give me the grace to be who I'm called to be, because you know who I'm called to be in this season. That's what we're looking for. That's what God's looking for. When you get off the stage and when you're at home at night and it's midnight and you're laying in bed, God's looking for that access. He's looking for that time with you so that he can transform you. He's wanting to get in there so he can speak to you about some stuff and start dealing with and pull and tug and start dealing with it. You want that. You should want that. But a lot of people don't. They don't because they're afraid, because they're hooked by the root. And the root's lying to a woman saying, if you let go, God's going to get you. And if you let go, it's not going to be the same. It won't be the same. It'll be better. It'll be better, but you got to be able to let go. Let go of the rope. Let go of the root. I can't, Lord. Yes, you can. Let go, and there's this match. Let go of the root. I can't. Yes, you can. And God's like, keep slapping your hands out. Stop blocking me. I get this picture of the Lord just like keeping your hands up over your head and saying, listen, just surrender. Just surrender. I'm going to get it either way. I'm going to get it either way. Because listen, I got multiple ways to get it. I don't need you. I can get it from you. The question is, how do you want to go about it? You can end up in the hospital because of anxiety and all that stuff and resist me. You can do all that stuff. Or we can fight it out at home and we can work it out. Oh, I'm telling you some truth today. You could end up doing it the bad way and God had to resurrect you back. Because some of y'all, Lord, just take me now. Just take me now. Some of y'all are like, Lord, it'd be better if you just take me. And God said, listen, there'll be a time, but not yet. Not yet. You're not going until God says. I don't care how much you beg him, Lord, alleviate the bring. I don't care how much you cry. You're not going until Jesus said. You're not graduating into the next season until Jesus lets you graduate. You are not in control. I'm sorry, you are not in control. If he started the work, he's going to complete it until your deathbed. Don't hasten that. Don't hasten it. Because some people, they succumb to stuff thinking that I can get out quicker. But all it's doing, it's killing them. There have been times in my life, and I wrote this in the book, this has been times in my life where God told me, if you do not fight, you will die. And the reality of that shook me to the type of warfare I was in. And this haze that the enemy has on the world of just being numb. And slowly, people are dying because they're numb, not realizing that God has put life inside of them, that God wants people to live and he wants people to overcome. Why do you think he comes after you that hard? Because he knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for you. He doesn't want you falling short of the grace that he's given you. Don't you know there are things that God has placed inside your heart that he wants you to accomplish? There are things that God has for you in the future, in the next season, but it requires of you to go through transformation this season to get it. There are certain things that you have to do and be prepared for before you get something. It's the same way with God. You go through different seasons in your physical life and our natural life. It's the same way with God. God said, I'm going to prepare you to get what you need and get what you're about to get in the next season. But we're going to go through a transformation process. Anybody who's getting ready to be blessed and getting ready to go somewhere, God said, we're going to go to work. A matter of fact, that's how God works. He works. God's not lazy. Have you ever thought, and we're about to close, you ever thought that God's not looking, but all of a sudden you, oh, he's looking. He's looking. You ever thought, well, I guess what he said, he didn't really mean. And all of a sudden, oh, he said it. He said it. I felt it. Because he reminds you of how faithful he is, what he says he will do, what he promises he will bring to pass, what he told you will happen. It doesn't mean it's going to happen the way you want it to happen. And it doesn't mean it's going to happen free from pain. The cross was the example for that. Pain, promotion. I want to be healed from my past. Okay, good. We're going to face it first. No, I can't. You want to be healed though, right? We're going to face it first. It's too painful. Face it. I'm going with you. That's what Jesus does. That's what a walk with Christ does. I'm going to take you back so we can go forward. That's what we do. I'm going to take you back. Let's just deal with it. Be man enough and a woman enough just to deal with it, God said. You want to be free? You want power? Let's deal with it. Some of y'all just need to pull your pants up. Know that that's where you're going. And some of y'all know that's where you're going right now. But generational stuff's been taking place. God said, guess what? We're going to break it off in you. You ready? No. Let's go. We're going. We're going. And it's your willingness to go back is going to be the key to your future victory. But you got to be willing to go in the tomb first. I'm sorry if somebody told you something different. I'm sorry if name it and claim it, you grew up on that. I'm sorry if they told you, man, if you feel good today, Jesus has got you and that's all you need. If they told you that, they lied to you. You're going to have to learn to pull your pants up, get dirty, learn how to pray, learn how to worship, learn how to take steps when it's hard. Learn how to stand when it's hard. Learn how to fight when you don't want to fight. Learn how to fight yourself. Learn how to say no to sin and yes to Jesus. When everybody else is not doing it, but you do it. And when everybody else is doing it, you still don't do it. Jesus said, come on, we're going to walk. And that's the great thing about knowing Jesus. Jesus said, we're not conforming. You ready for it? You ready? And here's the good thing. I called you because I knew you wouldn't. I knew you wouldn't. I called you. I knew you were crazy. I knew it. I like that about you. I knew you wouldn't. I knew, John, you were going to eat locusts and honey. I knew it. I made you that way. I called you, and I'm going to bring you, and we're going to do something. Yeah, you're going to be beheaded, but it's cool. I'm with you. Listen, don't worry about it, Peter. Don't worry. There'll be a time they're going to actually crucify you upside down, but just follow me. That's Jesus. Peter, you don't got to worry about it, brother, because there'll be a time where people are going to lead you where you don't want to go. It's cool. I'm going to use your zeal to establish my church. Paul, I know you're crazy. Paul, you're so crazy. Listen, you're going to write 14 out of the 27 books in the New Testament because you're so crazy, and they're going to behead you in prison. But don't worry, the world is going to be talking about your books. Where would you be without Paul? Paul's willingness to say yes, exchange his life, and surrender.